If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, in the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 2 is where you can find your place. And while you're turning there, just want to thank the Lord for His goodness, and so thankful for a good crowd here this morning. And I trust the Lord is meeting your needs and helping you and growing you. And we had a good meeting last night, our young people, and things felt like the Lord really helped us, and the teens responded very well to the preaching and the message of being a voice like John the Baptist was for the Lord Jesus, preparing the way, and just trusting the Lord will use that message. And also had a fun time, really. Had a great time playing a game called Clue, the life game of Clue. And man, I'm telling you, one of my favorite parts of that game was watching the characters in that game. And how many of you saw those pictures on Facebook? Anybody? Okay, if you have a Facebook account, check those pictures out, and you'll find very quickly who Miss Gingerbread and Colonel Mistletoe is, okay? And it'll trip you out, all right? A lot of good ones. Mr. Jack Frost was one of my favorites, too. Mr. Garland, all of them did a great job and good participation, and look forward to doing that again. I'm not sure what board game would be next, we'll have to see. I don't know that it would be Monopoly, and it might be Trouble, though, because that's what we are, a bunch of trouble. But anyway, it was a fun time. Thankful for the participation there and what the Lord's doing. And thank God for the rain. Amen. And count our blessings. Boy, we'll take it. Thank the Lord for it. And somebody said, yeah, it's a little too late. But I'm telling you what, better late than never. And thankful for what the Lord will give us in that. And just trusting everybody's getting geared up for the great month of December. I felt like the Lord just wanted me to go here this morning, starting off the month of December. I'm probably going to preach at least a couple more messages revolving around Christmas. But sometimes we wait till the day of Christmas or the Sunday before Christmas to preach on Christmas, and then it's gone, you know. So I'm hoping to get started here real quick and in the beginning of the month and just be talking about what Christmas truly should mean for us, and all the things that are going on with the Christmas parties and the celebrations and the family gatherings, which are all wonderful, I love them, that we would truly let Christmas change our lives. And I'm thankful for the hymns that Brother Mike chose for today, just a mixture of traditional Christmas hymns, but also hymns that deal with the love of Christ. Because, folks, if we're all honest here this morning, yes, we celebrate the birth of Christ, but I would say even more so, we're celebrating the love of Christ. And I think about that. I'm not preaching on this passage this morning. I think I might come back to it. But I think after we sang that song, I was thinking of 1 John. You don't have to turn there, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And Jesus was sent to show the love of God. And something I'm so thankful for this morning. I hope you are too. And just rejoicing on what God's going to allow us to do this Christmas season for His glory. Well, if you want to go to verse number 8, Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, we'll begin reading there. Of course, you know the context here. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ has been brought forth, and the firstborn son there of Mary, and finding him wrapped in swaddling clothes, and of course laid in the manger, there was no room for them in the inn. And we see the context of our Lord and Savior and His birth here, and we're going to see the response of some of the first ones that were notified of this birth announcement. If I could give a title to this message, it would simply be this: the shouting of the shepherds. The shouting of the shepherds. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us. Father, we do come before You with true thanksgiving. Almighty God, for what You did by sending Your Son for us. O Lord, the greatest Christmas gift of all, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, if we are all honest in here this morning, if we didn't receive any gifts this year, Lord, we should be filled with gratitude that we have the greatest gift of all. And that is You, Lord Jesus. Help us to be content with You, Lord, and help us to be changed by the great gift of eternal life that You have given us. And I pray You'd take the message this morning and use it in our hearts to use us, Lord, for Your glory. And use us, Lord, to make a difference. Lord, that the message of Christmas will not just be something we celebrate with Christmas trees and Christmas cookies, but something we would celebrate with the gospel. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, the shouting of the shepherds is what I give this title, but I want to tell you, it didn't start with the shouting of the shepherds. It started pretty much with the sleeping of the shepherds. They're out here in the field keeping the flock by night, and I'm sure there were maybe a few, we don't know the exact number, but I'm sure there were a few there that were keeping watch. But it started off with them in the context of being out in a field, pasture, watching over the sheep. And I see here that these shepherds, we're going to see here in a minute how these shepherds will go from sleeping, that they will go from sleeping to being almost scared to death. And then from scared to death, they go from shouting adoration to the Lord God. And I want us to see this context here this morning, church, and a story we've heard perhaps dozens, if not hundreds of times in our life in some way or another, depending on our age, but how this story can change us. And seeing ourselves in the lives of these shepherds, and how what we can learn from these shepherds and what they experienced, and them being some of the first people that received this great birth announcement, and what a privilege it was, and what a way it did change them, and we're going to see how it can change us. I want us to see number one, church. Here in our passage, we see that these shepherds were common men. They were just common men. There was nothing special about these shepherds, my friend. They were just your normal Joe, just out and about, like you would see right here in our church, who's here present this morning. Nothing special about any of us. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different families, perhaps different towns. Some are all from this town, but there's nothing that special about us. We are sinners who, most of us, I think, would give a testimony, sinners being saved by the grace of God. And we're common men, and I'm thankful that God really takes pleasure in using common people. And we know that because He states it so clearly in the Word of God, that God chooses common men, and He chose common men to give the first birth announcement, if you will, just right here. And we see that they're out abiding. Look there in verse 8. We'll just begin reading here in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And verse 15, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. In verse 16, And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You see how the shepherds went from sleeping to shouting. And we're going to see how this transpired and what this means to us. And how can we, as God's children, and if you're not a child of God, I hope you will before you leave here today, but how can we allow this message that the shepherds received change us in the same way it changed them? Well, we see again that it was common men. Number one, I want to see about these common men. They were simply abiding. What does that mean? That's where they were living at the time. I'm very familiar with this simply only because God led us to work with nomadic people for 3 years out in the Sahara Desert. And they were shepherds. The Tuareg and the Fulani people were shepherds. And they would use these tents and they would move as they needed certain parts of the year. Sometimes it would be a few months here. Sometimes it would be a few months here, depending on where the rains came and depending on where whether it was windy season to get in certain areas. But these people lived out there with the flock. Man, I've been out in some of these Tuareg tribes and I'm just talking hundreds of animals. I mean, herds of camel and goats and donkeys, and they live out there among these animals, and these people are abiding. These shepherds are abiding out there, sleeping under the stars in huts, just common people, nothing special about them. And it also says that they were watching. The Word of God says that they were abiding, but it also says that they were watching, keeping watch over their flock. And what does that mean? It simply means that they were almost like they were taking turns. Some of them would stay awake for the protection of these animals. And because I know out, even more so here, there would be wolves and animals that could take out their livestock. But in the desert, it's not wolves or lions. It's really jackals are pretty bad out there. They can be vicious. But even other Tuaregs that would seek to steal away the flock. And there would be certain people that were selected to be on watch. There were certain watches that you would stand so the other guys could sleep. I remember standing those watches in the Coast Guard. You would have your 4 to 8s, 4 in the morning to 8 in the morning, and so on, and 4-hour shifts. And so the others would be sleeping during those night watches. And I just can't help but think by perhaps the crackling fire, just a beautiful starry night. That's one thing I appreciate about these cold winter nights. I just think the stars are more vibrant, and I love it. And if you can imagine, those of you who love camping or even have a fireplace in your home, there's just something so peaceful and serene about the crackling fire and the stillness of the night. But I guarantee you, it was one of those situations where they were just resting. Some were watching. And they were doing what they should have been done. And then all of a sudden, an angel shows up on the scene. And it's not just some man showing up as an angel. No, it was in the glory of an angel, an angelic being. Look there in your Bible. It says, and lo, as they were sitting out there watching over the flock, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. The glory of the Lord is bright. It is great brightness. And as it came upon them, it says, the Word of God says, it shone. It shone round about them in such a way that it scared them to death. It scared them to death. I don't know if you've been in a position before where you have been in a dark place and perhaps were sleeping or perhaps were in some other context and somebody snuck up on you, and either on purpose by accident. I hate to admit this, but sometimes I take great joy in scaring people. And I shouldn't be that way, and my wife gets mad at me sometimes when I do it. But sometimes it's just fun and to see people's expression when you do spook them. But I want to tell you, I couldn't do anything compared to what probably this angel did to these shepherds. The Bible says when they were sore afraid, that means that they were terrified. That means they were spellbound. They couldn't hardly move a muscle. They're just frozen. And this angelic voice coming out and this brightness shone about, it scared them to death. And the reaction was that they were terrified. What's going on? And basically, I think what it was, that the meaning there is we're so afraid, is almost on the verge of death. Like you feel like you're so fearful. And I don't know if you've ever been there. Some of you have probably in this room, where you come so close to death in some way. It's that scary feeling. And these guys didn't know what was going on, but it's almost the feeling is like, terrified. But we see these common men, and next we see the carrier of the message brings them hope and encouragement and settles their fear very quickly. Look there in the Word of God. It says, as they were sore afraid, and the first thing the angel said unto them, fear not. That's really special to me, and I hope it is to you, child of God. The first thing that this angelic being said, the angel of the Lord said, fear not. Hey, I want to tell you something. That's something with many things that the Christmas message will bring. It brings a message where you do not have to fear. Fear not is the first thing that this angel said. It is a message of comfort. It is a message that to still their nerves and to still their fears and to calm them down. It came upon them and the light shone about them and they were afraid. This angel of the Lord, but one of the first things he said was, fear not. You know, that's the wonderful thing about our God, is that He sees us in our fears and He sees it when we're afraid, and He knows exactly how to calm those fears. In fact, I would say this, we should let the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus, foil any fears that come our way by that simple term, fear not. Do a study on that word sometime in the Word of God on your own time, where the Lord says, fear not, fear not. Do not fear, fear not. I forget how many times it's mentioned in the Word of God, but it is dozens where it is taught where we ought to not fear anything but the Lord God Himself. And He says, fear not. But we see the carrier of this message was an angel who was bringing a message of hope and peace. But I want us to see, after we see the carrier of this message, which was the angel, look very closely at the confirmation of the message. Look there in verse 10. It says after he brings this message, which we're going to talk more about verse 10 here in a minute, but look at verse 11 with me. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now that is very significant for prophecy's sake. You need to understand that that is very significant when he talks about the city of David, Bethlehem. This was a place that was prophesied by the prophet Micah over 700 years before this date. I was telling the teenagers last night, I said, if there are many ways to speak to people about the proof of God and the existence of the proof of the Bible, but one of those is simply fulfilled prophecy. You can't ignore these texts and Isaiah and Micah that were written hundreds of years before the birth of Christ that were speaking of this very moment. Listen to Micah 5:2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, it says, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's a prophecy of our Savior. And listen, this is again God using insignificant places that seem insignificant from a human perspective. Bethlehem's one of them. You know, our great metropolis of Nicholson, okay? That is very comparable. I even looked it up right now. They're saying there's probably about 1,600 people, residents living there in Nicholson. At this time, scholars think that there was probably around 1,000 people in this city. Tiny little town of all the world. God prophesied to the very place, the very town where the Savior of the world would be born. And that is something that I can't help but think that perhaps these shepherds had heard this at one point or another. that the very hope in their hearts that the coming Messiah would be born, and how they probably are just overwhelmed by the fact that God would choose them to hear the first announcement of this birth. Oh my, how wonderful that truly was. We see the confirmation of this message. But then where I really want to get down on in our remaining time and narrow in on is the verse 10 that we'll see about this comforting message. This comforting message. Again, why is it comforting? It's comforting because it's speaking of the Savior. He is the one that brings all comfort. He is the one that brings comfort to our heart like none other. And I want us to see here in verse 10, what does it say about the Savior? It says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This great tidings of great joy is something that, a joy that nothing else can offer. You know, we do look for it. A lot of people look for it in different areas, especially this time of year where alcoholism shoots through the roof. Alcohol sales shoot through the roof. Why is that? Because they're looking for joy in the wrong place. It is found in the person of Jesus Christ, in the gospel message. It is good tidings. It is the good news of great joy, which is in Christ the Lord. God's fear, listen, God's fear is something that we have. But not fear of anything else, no fear of death, no fear of man, no fear of circumstances, because God says, fear not. We see that this is a comforting message, and it's good tidings of great joy. But then secondly, I believe this is comforting. I'm thankful that this message is global focused. It's a global message. Look what the Word of God says there, church. It says there very clearly in the end of verse 10, it says, which shall be to what? Aren't you glad the gospel's for all? Aren't you glad that everybody you see out here in our world, aren't you glad you can look every single one of them in the eye and say, Jesus loves you? Because the Lord God has excluded none from this message. It is His desire that all hear this message. It is to all the Word of God says. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight. Jesus loves all the little children of the world. And it's true that the Word of God says that this is a global message. It is for all. It is for all purposes. And that's why even tonight, I'll mention more about it, but Cassidy will be giving a report of her ministry in Uganda and how God used her there and the people that she was ministering. Why? Because why was she there? Because Jesus Christ was sent for them too. And so that they can have an opportunity to understand the meaning of Christmas. And that's why we have Faith Promise Missions. So that we can help spread the message of Christmas around the world. Because it's global. And the angel announced to these shepherds saying, listen, it's for the world. But I'm thankful that we need to look on it not just as a global thing, but hey, at the same time, remember, it's personal. Can you put there in your name just to let the Christmas message resonate in your heart? Can you look there in verse 11 and just insert your name right there where it says you? If I were to write my name there, I just would read it just like this. For unto Brinson is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hey, your salvation should be that personal. To you to come to the point, friend, to realize that if you were the only person born into this world, Jesus still would have gone to the cross. He still would have been born. He still would have been born. If you were the only person that needed to be saved, He would have come. He would have come. He would have found a way. He would have come and died for you because it's personal unto you. Have you realized how personal this salvation was? It was a good tidings of great joy. It was globally focused. And it was a guaranteed peace. This message was comforting because it was a guaranteed peace. Look at verse 14. After the host joined the messenger, the angel that came, and then it says that he was joined, the angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know why it's a comforting message, friend? Because it is a guaranteed peace. Guaranteed peace to those that will receive it. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's on your bulletin as well. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and listen, the Prince of Peace." Hey, it's a guaranteed peace when you receive this gift that He has given. How wonderful this is. Romans 5:1 shows us that guaranteed peace. Simply says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus came to bring peace. But listen, we're not talking about peace between countries. I hope for that. I pray for that. I think we should. He's not just talking about in the realm of armies having peace with one another or sovereigns having peace with one another. He has came to bring peace between man and God. To reconcile, the Word of God is the Bible word, to bring together that great gap between God of heaven and mankind. Jesus came to bring peace, bringing us together, a guaranteed peace that we have. What a great verse, by the way, for assurance of salvation. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you stand on this verse right here. You've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. Because of Christmas, we have peace. And without Christmas, we have no peace. Let me close with this point right here. We see the comforting message. But then lastly, I want us to see the celebration of the message. Now we're getting into where they were shouting. The celebration of the message. All right, number one, look here in verse 15. It says here, "And it came to pass." Now as the angels left, that great... Now there's so many ways you could preach this passage, so many ways, but you got to take a time, you got to narrow down. But after that great chorus of angels, this army of angels were singing, and the multitude singing, praising God and glory in the highest. And then it says, after that, after it came to pass, the angels were gone away. Now what? Back to the crackling fire. Back to the stars. Back to the stillness. And they're always looking. I'm sure if I was there, this is probably something I would have done. I probably would have looked at Fred. And then I would have looked at Ted. I know those aren't Jewish names. Forgive me, Brother James. I'll try to work on that. But I'd say something like, "Did y'all see what I just saw?" I mean, can you imagine? And Ted probably say, "Yeah, I saw it." And Fred say, "Yeah, I saw it." And can you believe what we saw? And their response was a response of celebration. And look what it says in verse 15. After the angels had departed from this great chorus, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go." And I'm praying that would be the spirit of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. That we would take the spirit of Christmas that it's changed in our hearts and say, "Let's go. Let's take it to the world, glory to God. Let's praise His holy name. Let's take this message of peace to a lost and dying world. Oh God, give us a spirit of saying, let's go." And I believe that's what the shepherds had here. They said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." Hey, they were taking God at His word. Hey, you heard what the angel said, fellas? Let's go see it for ourselves. We believe it. We're taking Him at His word. He's saying, "Let's go observe this with our own eyes." And then verse 16, "And they came with haste." Praise God, they were running. I would have been too. "And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now, you can only imagine that scene. after what they've seen with this angelic host singing glory and praises to God, shining brightly, and then they left, departed. The boys got together, said, let's go. And man, they get to that manger, heart beating, probably sweating. If they're anything like me, man, I'm telling you, they're breathing hard and looking at each other. And in my sanctifying imagination, I'm thinking they're probably saying, look what God did. God told us about this birth announcement. And He let us be the first ones to come and see. Praising God. And look what they let this message do, church. They took God at His word. They went and saw it with their own eyes. This message that had been given to them, they experienced it. By the way, before I move on, can I say this? I don't want to be redundant, church, but please get this. There is a difference between knowing God and experiencing God. There are people that, most people in America, especially in the great state of Georgia, that if you were to go and ask them what the meaning of Christmas is, I would think that most of them would have some slight idea. Now, I know you'd get various answers, probably Santa Claus and reindeer and Christmas trees Colonel Mistletoe, and all these different things, but you would eventually get around to Jesus. I'm sure of it. But you see, the thing about the difference is there's a lot of people that know about Jesus. They know about the Christmas story, born in a manger, and most of them have heard away in a manger, and they know about it, but they've never experienced the salvation in Christmas. And perhaps there's even someone here this morning. You've heard the Christmas story all your life, but it's never got in your heart and changed you like it did these shepherds. These shepherds, they were changed by it. They took God at His word and they experienced the Christmas message. And then after they experienced it, they saw it for their own eyes. What does the word of God said they did? Look at there with me in verse 17. It says, get it now, church. And when they had seen it, when they had experienced it, when this message had got into their hearts, Brother Derek, when this message had changed them by experience, what was their response? Let's go. Let's go tell others. Look what it says. It says there in verse number 17, and when they had seen it, they made known what? Abroad. The saying which was told them concerning this child. You see what the difference is? They went from shouting, and they're going to shout again, amen. Ain't nothing wrong with shouting, by the way. They went from shouting to sharing. Hey, listen, can I say this kindly? Don't shout if you ain't going to share. Because if you ain't got something good enough to share, friend, you ain't got something good enough to shout about. I say that kindly, but you understand the power of the gospel. And if we're going to say amen, and we're going to come to church, and we're going to praise God, hey, let's share it with somebody. Let's make a difference with this message as the shepherds did. Praise God. They did something about this message that had affected them, and they were going to tell others, they were going to get abroad, and they were going to share this. And look what the response was. Oh my, you know how some people look at you. Look here at verse number 17. It says here, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad and that the saying was told them according to this child. In verse 18, and all they that heard it, what, church? Wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. Can I say what another way you could say that? Being marveled? Excuse me, they wondered, they marveled. They marveled. Wow. That is awesome. That is incredible. That message, what you're speaking of, what the change we see in your life, the difference, the obvious difference that it's made in your life, they marveled. They wondered. And I wonder myself here, and I'm speaking to myself too, what are people thinking about the salvation that I have? Do they see no difference of what the world has for them? Are they marveling that, wow, that person has peace. That person has joy. And I'm not saying that they look at us and say, wow, that's a perfect person. I know better than that in my own heart. But I'm telling you, there needs to be something that they marvel about, and they should be marveling about the God we serve and the God that saved us and the God that came and why we celebrate Christmas. Oh, praise God for Christmas. We take God at His Word, just like the shepherds did. We tell others, just like the shepherds did. Others will, hey, marvel. Hey, and there will be some that mock along the way, by the way. Just like we see through the Word of God, but listen, you don't let that affect you. You just keep telling. You just keep sharing. You let that Christmas message live right through you, and you be willing to share that, telling others. And then in closing, I want us to see that not only did they take God at His Word, and not only did they tell others, but then, lastly, they continued thanking God. Look at verse 20. It says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were thanking God, praising God. Hey, listen, let this be the best Christmas season of your life. And I believe this, church, and I'm not trying to put any pressure on you, but I believe this could be the greatest Christmas season of your life if you would simply share the gospel with others. Because you know what you're saying there? That is the true meaning of Christmas. Sharing this great message of Christ, who He came for all men. It says unto you and to all abroad, to all the world. To all, the Word of God says, sharing the gospel. What a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas, by celebrating somebody coming to know the Christ of Christmas. Wouldn't that be wonderful, church? Wouldn't that be incredible? Hey, listen, as we go into a full-fledged season of Christmas here, December 4th and the next 20 days, 24 days, right, even after Christmas, we can stay all the way through December. Hey, I'm like BBN. They play Christmas music all the way through the first of the year. Hey, man, let's do it the same thing as sharing Christmas tracks. All the way through. I wish we could do it all year round. Somebody say, why? We're singing Christmas songs this season. Yeah, we are. In fact, we sing Christmas songs all year round. Amen. They're all about Jesus. Amen. I know what they mean. I like Christmas music too. But can I just say this in closing? Hey, listen, we have a message to celebrate, folks. A wonderful message. And we can truly celebrate it by simply doing this, thanking God, taking God at His Word, just like these shepherds did. And they took it and they went and they marveled, they experienced it, and then they went and told others. And I'm asking God to give you some opportunities to really share the gospel with some people this season that otherwise you would not. Because can I say this, and I hope you understand this, it is during this season that the Holy Spirit does soften hearts even more so. I believe, not all cases, I'm not saying every case, but I believe that in this season, hearts become more tender to the gospel. And it's an opportunity for us as a church not let just a blow past. The shepherds went from sleeping to shouting. Hey, let's let our shout go too. Let's be willing to share as well. Let's learn from these shepherd boys who were common people just like us. Nothing to write home about. Hey, I'm telling you what. They were just out there doing. Listen, I'll close with this. Brother David Jemanski, I know you're familiar with this group of people, the Fulani. Now, the Tuareg, they were dirt poor people. But if there was anybody poorer than the Tuareg, it was the Fulani. That was another nomadic tribe out there in West and North Africa. And these Fulani, they would actually be used as slaves for the Tuareg people. And they would use them as helping keep the flock. And can I just say it like this? They were the lowest of the low, the Fulani. I mean, think about it. The dirt poor people, the Tuareg, and they even look down upon the Fulani. That's pretty low. And they would make them do a lot of the grunt work and a lot of the rough stuff out there tending to the flock and stuff nobody else wanted to do. And can I tell you, that's the type of people that got the birth announcement of Jesus Christ. That's you. That's me. Just common people. All kinds of fallacies, all kinds of weaknesses. And God says, I choose you. I'm choosing you to take my message of Christmas to a lost and dying world. Let's pray.